Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Bill Ryder with you, filling in for Jim. Thank you for being here. Appreciate you. As always, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We're going to talk a little NBA with Jeff Zilgit at the end of this hour. If I have time in 15 or 20 minutes, I will bring up a COVID-related dilemma some of us face and mix in the story about my fro test back in the day when I combined my ability to grow a fro with a protest at the Kansas City Star. Hope I can sneak that in. We'll talk some baseball with Jerry Hairston Jr. next hour. Get into, I think, some information, some data, some insights on the NBA, whether you're gambling inclined, I am, or just interested in some sleepers who are going to benefit from this bubble in Orlando. But I want to start here. I want to explain. And by the way, if you want to give us a call, 1-800-636-8686. Same number as always. Rome at haveatake.com. Jim off this week and next. Well, I'll be here on and off this week and next as well. At Jim Rome, of course, on Twitter, jimrome.com. If you want to hit me up, like it looks like about 50 of you have already, sports writer, and thank you for listening, sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Just talked to Rob Stone, who I'm a big fan of, and I think, because I used to do radio in L.A., and I did a radio show for almost 3 years here at CBS Sports Radio in the evenings before I had to give that up to do basketball coverage for CBS Sports HQ, I think the only time I ever had a soccer guest on was maybe one time during the World Cup. And part of the reason we had Rob on is because I've gotten into soccer in the last year. And the truth is, I've gotten into soccer since the world shut down. It's the only thing to watch, to the point where, and I went to Barcelona last year with my wife and kids, loved the city. I started watching a little Barcelona football, got Fubo TV to watch it on the free thing. Like, when it expires, I'll just get rid of it. Sorry, Fubo, it's true. And then the world shut down, La Liga came back. It's the only thing to watch, so I'm paying for it, and I'm obsessed with it. To the point where all you Real Madrid fans know you're stealing the La Liga title through the garbage Sergio Ramos penalty kicks that no one cares about but me, but I just want to gratuitously use Jim's platform to say that. But the reality is, we had Rob on because soccer has amplified its own relevance in this country, and anecdotal though it is, I've been shocked. We've been out more the last couple of weeks, right? But I've been playing more tennis, taking some walks, hanging out with my kids. We still socially distance, and we choose personally to do those things. Just bumped a buddy of mine I haven't talked to in a year and a half in L.A., texted me about a poker tournament for charity. I'm in. 12 people, I went and counted last night, 12 people in the last week or week and a half. Because of what I do for a living, folks are always going to just... Even I have friends who don't watch sports, who know nothing about sports, who painfully try to talk about sports with me. And I say, it's okay. We can talk about something else because that's not how you pronounce Giannis's name or whatever the example might be. Folks now are bringing up soccer, and I'm stunned how many people like me have become utterly invested in soccer. Look, soccer's not some niche sport that nobody watched. My brother, who's 3 years younger than me and a huge sports fan, was a huge NFL fan for years, told me 2 years ago he had basically in his heart, right, traded away the NFL for soccer. And him and his friends did that. And 12 people over the last week and a half have unsolicited or in these sort of awkward conversations where they want to talk about sports, told me how much they're watching EPL or La Liga or whatever it may be. In fact, when I get off the Jim Rome Show later today, I'm going to go home, I'm going to watch, I think it's Sevilla, whoever's on. I have it taped, and I'm going to watch it when I walk in the door. It's the sport that's on television. It's a thing we've been able to watch. And after that, it felt like 50 years. What was it, guys? 6 weeks, 2 months, whatever it was, where there was nothing on television. And at least here in L.A., we were trapped in our homes. I was desperate for anything. You could have told me the table tennis championships of Slovakia were on, and if it was on Fox Sports or ESPN or CBS Sports, I would have watched it. But soccer is actually a beautiful sport, something that shouldn't be a shock to me, but I'm not a soccer guy, or I wasn't. I am obsessed with it now. I'm watching EPL. I'm watching Bundesliga, trying to find Americans that are out there. Garrett Rich just gave me some recommendations on Americans I can watch and things I can kind of focus on. Hell, I'm actually going to watch Spain's second division tournament in a few weeks to see who gets promoted. That's where I'm at. And the fact that I'm doing that, not a big soccer fan, the fact that buddies of mine who are America sports fans, who are college football and NFL, who are randomly, I had a buddy yesterday text me, yeah, what's going on? What have you been up to? And I said, oh, you know, watching a lot of soccer. I expected to get some gif from Rick and Morty making fun of me or some, like, watch a real sport. And this dude blew up my phone about what a fan he is and then obnoxiously pointed out he's a Real Madrid fan, which I didn't know this either a year ago. They and Barcelona hate each other. Good for soccer. But here's the point. In this time where we are captive audiences, especially as sports fans, the golden opportunity to sell yourself to a new audience, to convince people it is worth your time and money. Hell, my son, Henry, we've watched so much soccer the last few months that he has bought a bunch of Messi jerseys, and now we go, I don't know, every other day. He asks every day, I'm sorry, buddy, I should be a better dad, but we go every other day. I'm not going to lie to you here on the show. He wants to go to the park and play soccer, just him and I, or him and his sister and I, and he wants to be Messi. He wants to be Tottenham. He wants to be one of those guys in Bundesliga. And you know what my son was doing a year ago? A year ago, playing wiffle ball with me in the front yard because he was watching baseball. Good for soccer, but the real story is how thoroughly Manfred, the commissioner of MLB, and Major League Baseball shot themselves in the feet. It is an act of egregious incompetence. It is baseball malpractice that at a time where we have nothing to watch as sports fans, where someone like me can't even know how to pronounce half the players in La Liga, let alone be invested emotionally, where kids like my son and my daughter, and by the way, not just my kids, the kids of these random dudes who keep hitting me up, are all of a sudden invested in soccer. You know why? Because we sit at home, and it's a thing to do, and it takes us away from the bizarro world that we live in right now. And you know who should have done that and captured that and had that? Is Major League Baseball. We just had Independence Day. By the way, I love baseball. Soccer was fine. Love baseball. Covered baseball as a newspaper guy a little bit. Played it as a mediocre player when I was very young. Cubs fan. Worked at Dodgers Radio. Obsessed with the sport. Love it. Hard to care right now for me. I like soccer more. I can't believe I'm saying that. Not because I change, because baseball's been so incompetent they haven't taken my attention. We just had a holiday weekend, and Rob Stone hit on this, where nobody in the community I live in was outside. Beaches were closed. It was a ghost town. And you know what I did every single day other than building Legos? And I'm going to do a little guilty pleasure. I did watch Warrior Nun. What can I tell you? It's addictive on Netflix. I went and played soccer with my son again and again and again and again. You know what I should have been doing? If I lived in a country where one of the major sports knew how to run itself and do its damn job, I should have been watching baseball. I'm sitting in LA. I should have been watching the Dodgers owning the sports world, having come back July 1st, four or five games in, and it would have felt like the Super Bowl. I should have been watching Cubs games from my house, watching Chris Bryan and Rizzo and Javi in their final year under contract, taking in the joy. Baseball and their, what, generational inability to be competent, to sell itself, to understand fans. It has been a long-term problem for a long time. Long time. But this is a perfect moment in which baseball could have attracted people who don't actually watch the sport. Here's some breaking, and we have Jerry Harrison Jr. coming on. I'm sure he'll argue with me, or maybe he won't. I don't know. I actually talked to a former major leaguer about this who loves the sport and is so angry about baseball's apparent dedication to the concept of starving itself into, if not irrelevant, second-tier status. This was the moment. Of all the sports at a time where the virus that has upended our world impacts how you go about your business, of all the sports, baseball's the one that should be the easiest to pull off. In basketball, you are going to push up against guys defensively. You're going to bang into guys going for rebounds. You're going to be touching a basketball that has touched other people, and hopefully it'll be safe. It's also an indoor sport, and we know, in the little that we know, that being indoors is markedly more problematic for contracting this virus than being outside. Look, take tennis, take golf, put them aside. Major team sports, baseball should be the easiest. this goes without saying, but the challenges for the NFL and college football are going to be massive. Not just the number of guys that presumably have to find a place to sit and be inside in the locker room, but they're smashing into each other. You're literally smashing into each other over and over again. You don't think there's going to be sweat and other particles that are... Of course there is. And we hope it goes well. Baseball involves guys who literally have their own baseball bats. So that's already isolated. Got your own glove. It's not like these guys only have three bats in the dugout. I guess I got to take Trout's bat. Hope everything... No, man. The only thing in common is the baseball. Which, you know, only touches your hand if you're a fielder when you're actually making the throw of the pitcher. I mean, what are we talking? How was baseball in its greed, in its cluelessness? It reminds me, and we all know this guy, the guy that in high school, and look, there's a lot of guys in high school that were superstars athletically that are still superstars athletically or have great lives or, you know, let it go. But we all got one, right? The guy that the boss sang about in my, you know, my hometown. Actually, it was Glory Days, where the guy can't let go, and he's a sad replica of himself, and he thinks, hey, bro, you're about 40 pounds larger than you were at 70. Which, by the way, so am I. I'm not judging. That's Major League Baseball. This sad, pathetic need to pretend that it's the 1960s or 70s or 80s. You have lost your domination long ago to the National Football League. Okay, not great, but the NFL's pretty amazing, right? I mean, it's the 800-pound gorilla in American sports. You've lost the likelihood of the future, which you can alter, to the NBA in terms of trending young and branding those athletes. But you know what? The future is the future. But you're going to lose the perfect moment, literally a time that has been chaos and negativity and struggle, but there's always silver linings where you can not just bring ultimate joy to sports fans, which, by the way, you would think would be kind of important. But I won't be Pollyannish. I'll understand that it's a business. I'll understand that multimillionaires arguing with billionaires don't have the kind of financial concerns I do and you do. You just have a chance selfishly to own sports without anything else going on for a month or two, and you can't get off your behinds. Almost said the other word. I know I probably can, but my kids are listening. You can't get up and just get sports on the air. Baseball should have been on the air July 1st. They should have been camps before that. And this is before we get into all the realities of, do you know what the one commodity that even the NFL can't buy? The one thing in this time for sports that is critical, that is time. You are racing against a clock and a virus you can't see or contain. And the time to have played sports, if possible, was when the country opened back up. Whether too early, whether not too early, it opened back up. I've been to restaurants. Beaches have opened. Things have happened. If Major League Baseball was going to play games, here's some breaking news, Mr. Manfred. You should have done it a month ago with camps and guys playing now. And I'm not trying to trick a David Price. I'm not trying to trick a Mike Trout. I'm not trying to trick anybody into playing if they don't want to. But you know what? Had you done this 3 or 4 weeks ago, with what we knew then, a lot of these guys probably would have played. We all thought that this virus, or many of us thought, it was a little more contained or we could be safe than we probably think now, or some of us think now. Baseball couldn't get out of its own way, arguing with each other. How many games? What does the union think? What is Manfred going to do? Look, there are people whose livelihoods depend on this. And I don't mean rich people. People who work at ballparks, who run restaurants and hotels that are connected to those ballparks and games. People in the media. People who work in concessions, so on and so forth. But just in a selfish way, baseball had a chance to get some games in, to make some money, and most importantly, in some alternate universe, the Henry Riders of the world wouldn't be in a family that's not a soccer family, running around in Barca jerseys, begging dad to take him to the park to kick a soccer ball. My son, I don't think you care, but just as an example, did a soccer league last year, didn't like it, didn't want to play soccer again. Now it's soccer. And it's crazy. He's actually gotten markedly better watching soccer. He wanted to play baseball. And he told me the other day, I'm done with Little League. Little League got stopped in the middle of it. He loved it. Because these kids don't intuitively love what you loved as a kid or I loved as a kid. They intuitively love what they see on TV and really what they connect with their families, right? Through sports. Took my kids to a Dodgers game when they were young. They became baseball fans. I played some tennis, did a podcast with Andy Roddick back in the day, so they met that guy. Never remember his name, but they knew he was tall. They liked tennis. And we woke up at a time where there was nothing to do, Zoom had become a four-letter word. Everybody was on each other's nerves. We're a sports family, and it was soccer in another country, in multiple other countries. For us, we watch Spanish soccer, mostly, La Liga, that just did the basic task of getting itself back to business. And they are dominating the conversation in a country that shouldn't care about the sport the way that it does, that I shouldn't care about it the way that I do. And that's cool. I've actually enjoyed soccer. I was talking to Garrett Ritt about this. And I played it as an amateur, like just very, very like low level, you know, intramurals. But I loved it. But I never watched it. I'm hooked now. And more importantly, so is my kid and my kid's friends. Major League Baseball. I love the sport, but you deserve everything you're going to get. And it's not going to be good. Shame on you. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim Rome. 1-800-636-8686. I'm not a baseball hater. I love baseball. Truth is truth. 1-800-636-8686. All right. I got a COVID story involving my fro, a protest, and a question I will leave to the clones and maybe the guys here about whether or not I should pick my hair out for one of the shows over the next week. We'll get into that in a moment. Garrett Ritt looks confused, but I will bring the answers. Let me continue next here on the Jim Rome Show.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back into the Jim Rome Show here on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. I am Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. RomeAtHaveATake.com at Jim Rome, JimRome.com. If you want to hit me up, you can do so at Sports Ryder. It's my last name, Sports R-E-I. T-E-R. By the way, join Michael Breed as he tees off on the top headlines in the world of golf. Watch Course Record with Michael Breed today at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific on CBS Sports Network. I listen to a lot of sports talk radio because I love sports talk radio and sports and because I obviously do it for a living. And I understand what it's like sometimes to listen to someone rail on a sport they hate, right? Guys don't like baseball. Hating on baseball sounds inauthentic and stupid to me. Guys that don't like the NBA, going off on the NBA doesn't sound right. I love baseball. One of the happiest moments of my life, and, you know, truly, and I need to say it, other than the birth of my kids and getting married and some of those things, personal things, one of the greatest moments of my life, one of the only times that I've cried in public, was when the Cubs won the World Series and I was there in Cleveland. Love the sport. And it is a shame. It is a travesty. It is really a, I don't know if betrayal is right because it's a business, but it feels like a betrayal by the people in charge. And I'm not talking about folks who have opted out. Look, if Mike Trout comes out and decides, Mike Trout could announce he doesn't want to play baseball because he's worried about his own personal health, the coronavirus, and I think that's totally fine. I'm not going to qualify a grown man making his own decision about anything. But the fact his wife is pregnant, that's a concern. Of course, that's okay. I'm not mad at anybody for deciding not to play. I'm not. Nick Markakis made the decision today, I think, and the news came down today, that he's not going to be there. There's a lot of guys, Ryan Zimmerman, a bunch of guys. No, the institutions of baseball, the greed that's driven baseball, the self-absorption that's driven baseball. There's this underlying idea of folks operating in their own best interests. That is assuming that they're rational thinkers. And baseball has proven time and again they're not. And on Twitter, at CoachDan625 tweets, "You're taking MLB is spot on." Every time I'm on the Jim Rome Show, which is a highlight, and I start with "Your Take," it can go one of two very distinct directions. I like this direction. This direction feels good. "Your Take on MLB is spot on." Completely wasted opportunity. Greed overshadowed the fact the players are the ones taking the risk of contracting the virus by stepping on the field. America could have really used some baseball on its birthday. And that's it, too. Not to be too overwrought, but July 4th is meaningful in a vacuum, but it certainly feels right with baseball. It was bizarre. We watched soccer the whole day, which was cool, but I was acutely aware of the void created, as you said, Dan, by the greed out there. At Wooden Laconic tweets, and I really hope it's not true, but baseball is dead, baby. Baseball's dead. Again, I'm not a baseball hater. Look. It's so true. I'm not going to rail on hockey because I'm not a hockey guy. Is that a weakness? Is that a flaw? Hockey fans, cool. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what you should think about hockey because it's not my thing. I'm not going to go off on track and field. I don't care about synchronized swimming. But my anger toward Robert Manfred and everyone involved in Major League Baseball is out of a love for the sport, not the opposite. What a joke. All right, really quick, one of the really interesting... Actually, one more. Sonny in Toronto. Then I want to hit this real thing. Baseball messed up. They could have retained and made new fans. Soccer gaining new fans. Good point, sports writer. Thanks. It's a beautiful game. It really is. I can't believe... You know, it's one of those things where something's obvious, but you resist it for so long that when you realize that you were the one that was wrong, it's kind of hard. It is. Soccer is a great game. Oh, my God. I've become a crazy person. My wife like leaves the room when I watch Barcelona game. I'm screaming at the television. I miss that too, the emotion of it. So one of the COVID things I find really interesting is what are the appropriate rules of grooming, right? I still shower every day, but I got buddies. I won't say who, although I should, because it's the Jim Rome Show and everybody's listening. I got a buddy who would go 8 or 9 days at the height of quarantine time just not showering. How do you not shower after 9 days? For me, it's the hair. And if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you can kind of see it. It's tamped down with gel. I have very curly hair. In fact, when I was at the Kansas City Star years ago, to give you an idea of how much my hair can grow out, I worked at the Kansas City Star, I worked in sports, and the guy in charge made me go write about news and write obituaries, and I didn't want to do that. And I was young and impetuous, and I had a daughter. Madeline was born, my son wasn't, but I didn't realize the responsibility of that, or else I probably wouldn't have done this. I decided to do a fro test. I grew out my hair in protest of not getting to write about sports. And I would go and I would pick it out every day. And after about 4 or 5 months, the bosses started to give me sort of sideways glances. Because that hair gets Chevy Chase and Fletch Lives Big. I mean, it is some... And if any of you watch CBS Sports HQ, you've seen it the last week because some of you have hit me up on it. Some have called it magnificent. Others have called it words I can't say on the Jim Rome Show. Whatever your perspective, thanks for noticing. And so I got called in by my boss, and I think HR once. And they just asked if anything was okay. And I, you know, had this huge hair. The hair was 7 times the size of my face. And I said, yeah, everything's fine. What's going on? I had to duck to get in the door, I'm sure. I said, well, it just seems like, you know, you seem a little off. No, I'm good. I'm great. And finally they said, well, what about your hair? And I said, well, it's a fro test. And they looked at each other quizzically because they thought they heard the word wrong. I said, it's a fro test. I'm protesting the fact that you have me working on the Metro desk. I want to write about sports. And I shortly thereafter left for FoxSports.com. But I bring all that up to bring this up. I haven't had a haircut. Guys, when did the world shut down? I can't even get February. March. Can't. March 12th. I should know that. But it could have been 2003 for all I know. It feels like so long ago. Had that haircut. Now, for the Jim Rome Show today, put a little gel in it, right? Tamped it down if you're watching on CBS Sports Network. Hair is a little... Here, I'll even like give you a little lower. But if I... You know, if I just... I could, if I picked it out, I showed Alvin a photo, I can get it really big. So let's do this. If you want me to continue to have appropriate hair, because I do take being on the show very seriously. So one of you clones hit me up, made fun of me for in a sports coat the other day, which I'll go back to when it's not like a holiday Monday. But I think it's an honor to sit in Jim's chair. I think it is a privilege, and I'm never going to come in here and pretend that I'm Jim Rome and Jim, it's Jim's show. I'm going to dress a certain way, and I'm going to, you know, shower and use gel and groom myself a certain way, COVID or not. But if you'd like me to pick my hair out one day on the Jim Rome Show, sports writer, sports, R-E-I-T-E-R, I can do that. And if you don't care, that's fine. You don't have to write. Otherwise, if I get enough encouragement, I'll do it. Garrett, I don't know. Like, do you have any, you know, you're today the kind of keeper of the brand here. Any issue with me just fully picking out my hair and just going, because it's pretty big. It might be a little distracting.
You do what you like, man. It's, you got carte blanche.
I do, okay. I filled in here, I don't know how many times. 10 or 20, I don't know.
Dozens.
It's, been a lot. It's
it
been,
feels like dozens.
I love doing it. It might be dozens. It feels like 100, Ryder. Feels like 100. All right, maybe it's such an interesting thing now, this whole COVID thing. Like, I got guys I haven't seen in forever that I bump into, and they put on all kinds of weight. I'm like, what are you doing? And like, oh, I don't see anybody. It doesn't matter. And other guys have become, buddy of mine's lost like 30 pounds. I'm a little worried that he's the guy from Thinner, that obscure Stephen King is Richard Bachman book where he gets cursed by a gypsy and just loses all his weight.
Or the mechanic with Christian Bale.
Yeah.
He had to go down to like 110 pounds.
This dude, he came by the other day. I'm like, are you okay, man? He's like, thought about getting, I don't know, is it a PET scan or C scan? I don't know about technology or medicine, but get a scan thing and make sure everything's okay. All right, we'll see. Maybe I'll, because my wife loves the big hair, but everyone else thinks I look like I am going to go to Venice Beach and ask for dimes so I can buy liquor. People interpret it in very different ways. Very excited to welcome on my guy, Jeff Zilgin, here in a few minutes. We'll talk a little NBA with the USA Today National NBA writer, Mr. Zilgin, one of the best in the business. We'll get his take on some sleeper teams. I got a good one for you about 30 minutes, and there's some stats and some data to back it up. But first, we'll visit with Jeff just after we get a CBS Sports Radio update with
live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you, filling in for Jim. Thank you for being here. Really excited about the gentleman that's going to join me now. When I first started covering the NBA full-time, I can't remember if it was Philly or Boston. This was the first guy who took me out for a beer on the beat. And it turned out he was also the foodie of NBA coverage. So if you ever need a restaurant in the city you're in, something good, at Jeff Zilgin on Twitter. I know he's busy for USA Today being the man covering the NBA, but he'll hit you back. And he's also making some time now. Mr. Zilgin, greetings, buddy.
Hey, Bill. Hope you're doing well. And I can't wait to be able to start enjoying some of these meals sometime soon. So hopefully we can get this situation settled and be back on the road doing what we love to do.
What have you been doing with your time when not working? Are you watching lots of Netflix? What are you watching? What are you doing in your downtime?
Yeah, we've been trying to catch up on shows on Netflix. Obviously, since I love food, I've been cooking, using the grill. But I've also been able, Bill, to sneak out, fly fish a few times. I love that. And so the mountains have been social distancing heaven. I need a couple hours to get there from my place in D.C., but I get into the Blue Ridge and, you get on a trail, Bill, and you don't see another person the rest of the day.
Good for you. Jeff Zilgin here on the show. Jeff, we have teams, we're about 24 hours from teams beginning to report to Orlando. I know it's a broad question, but I want to start here. What is your confidence level? What do you think the confidence level should be of fans that the NBA season, when it resumes, will finish as planned?
It's a great question, Bill. I've been referring it to, with everything that's at stake, the billion-dollar question. I mean, there's so much money involved, and we can't help but ignore that angle here in the restart. And so if you're asking, percentages, Bill, I think 80-20 that they finish it, favor, give the 80% that they do finish it. But, that 20% leaves a lot to be concerned about. And, I'm also willing, Bill, as we see what happens in the campus environment or the bubble-like environment, I'm willing to extend that 20% number as I see what happens. I understand all the reasons for wanting to play. I really do. Not only the economic reasons, but to return some sense of normalcy, to have a champion. I understand why players want to play for those reasons. And yet, that 20%, Bill, there's a lot of room for things to really go badly on that 20%, and I hope it doesn't happen. And then what we're seeing, not just in Florida, but across the country, and this is more specific to, not how people fare when they get COVID-19, but the testing capacity that's available and, what kind of look is it for these sports leagues, including the NBA, to be testing people daily when the rising numbers of people testing positive, and the people who want to get tested is putting, you know, stress on our testing capacity system. And so those are some of my concerns, Bill, when we, you know, get into this. And as you pointed out, I mean, Adam Silver said that this isn't full steam ahead quite, but Bill, they're obviously planning on getting there and starting this. And so there is some degree of moving forward that is not being slowed right now.
Jeff Zilgit from USA Today here on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. Jeff, I understand that in normal times, hindsight is easier than foresight. And we know with COVID-19 that there's a lag time of anywhere from 10 days to much longer in terms of what we're seeing versus, you know, when it actually was set into motion. So I understand why Orlando made sense when it did. But today we know that that county and Florida in general is not doing particularly well as it relates to the numbers. Do you have any sense of whether or not the NBA regrets its decision to make Disney the spot for this bubble?
I don't think regret is quite the right word on it, Bill. I don't know if they had many better options. I mean, even at the time when they were looking at it, let's just break it down a little bit. One other option was Las Vegas. And we know they can put on these kinds of events, Bill. They do it Summer League, the G League Showcase with the NBA. But at that time, Las Vegas and Clark County in Nevada, where Las Vegas is, they had problems at the time. And some of the West still has problems. The other sort of site that was getting some attention was possibly in Houston, where there were probably enough facilities and a convention space to pull this off. And yet, Bill, we see what's going on right now in Texas and in Houston. And if you look at the maps that we see on TV, there's hardly a state that isn't showing some kind of increase. And so I'm not sure when they were planning this, you know, that there were any better options. And if you're asking the NBA today, they still feel that they're bringing people into a, and I don't necessarily like the word bubble, Bill, but I use it. But they're bringing people into a controlled environment. And so they believe that they're bringing people into the safest environment possible, even safer than, you know, players and staffers being in their home cities, going out for groceries, you know, doing the typical errands that we're all trying to get done and need to leave the house. And so they believe that they've created this safe environment. And yet there's the part of me, Bill, this circles back to what I was talking about earlier, the testing capacity, the growing numbers. You know, I just can't help but think of the image of, you know, Rome burning all around us, you know, while the empire, you know, still tries to function. And so that's what, you know, concerns me, you know, over the next few weeks to see what happens inside that environment.
Talking to Jeff Zilgit here on the show. Jeff, one of the things I find really interesting is as I discuss, you know, what players should or shouldn't do or will or won't do, I've also have decisions to make about whether I want to go to Orlando and cover this sport. For you personally, or just colleagues you've talked to, do you have a sense of how many media members feel comfortable with going down to Disney?
I think, Bill, you know, look, do I have some comfort level? I do. You know, do I worry about, you know, traveling commercial from my home to Orlando? That is a concern. You know, I've managed to, you know, do the right things here at home for the, you know, since March when, you know, people started to pay a little bit more attention to this, wear masks when going out. And I think all those requirements inside the bubble, social distancing, wearing masks will limit it. But you also can't help but be concerned about that because you are all of a sudden putting yourself in. You know, Bill, I haven't been many places outside of a grocery store with more than 100 people. In it, and I'm not sure my grocery stores have allowed 100 people in it at one time. And so, you know, all of a sudden you're opening yourself up to a much greater indoor environment. I mean, just think, you know, even though there's going to be no fans, Bill, there's going to be, you know, TV people operating cameras, you know, having video. There's going to be the team and their staffers and then the media who is inside the arena and watching. I know it's going to be small, Bill, but you still have opened yourself up. And so I think there's concern from media people, myself included. But also, Bill, I mean, you can't help it. You know, there's the human side of this. But you and I, Bill, talking about this is from the journalistic side, what an opportunity. I mean, how many how many situations will we have like this the rest of our lives to cover an NBA Finals, a championship, and playoffs in that environment? I hope it doesn't happen again, Bill. So it's really a once in a lifetime event. An opportunity to cover something so unique and different. And again, I hope we never see it again, but that's another way I'm approaching it. As a journalist, you want to be, Bill, where the news is, where it's happening. And, you and I are both on the same page on that. Now, is there the human, personal side that you have to have considerations with your family? 100%.
Jeff Zilger from USA Today. Here on the Jim Rome Show, Bill Ryder filling in. Jeff, get into the basketball, sort of combination of the basketball and this, as you said, very unique, hopefully one-off situation for how and where a champion's going to be crowned. Back in April, I tested positive for COVID-19, and I was fine. Had a couple days where it felt like the flu. But I did, we had been extraordinarily safe and courteous as it relates to our behavior, but I quarantined for 14 days, right? I just locked myself in my house and didn't leave and didn't leave my room very much. And I almost lost my mind. I mean, being cooped up doesn't begin to describe the sensation of just knowing you couldn't leave. To what degree do you think NBA players, especially if and as they advance, not being able to leave this bubble is going to have an impact on chemistry, morale, play, the product on the floor?
If I'm listening to coaches and players on these Zoom teleconference calls or video conference calls right now, that's their biggest concern, is how to find a way to make this enjoyable. Now, if you look at those Disney properties, Bill, there are things to do. They're going to open up some of those things in terms of restaurants, places to go, so that they can get out and have some kind of normalcy as best as possible. But the mental aspect of this, Bill, is huge. I think David Griffin, the executive VP of basketball ops for the New Orleans Pelicans, said the other day that this is going to be a huge focus for their team, and that not having it be so stressful, they're doing mental wellness activities every day with their director of health and mental wellness. That's how seriously these teams are taking it. They know it can have a toll to being able to do things that you're used to doing. None of these players, they'll even think of a long road trip or a playoff series. They're not on the road during the season for more than 10, 11 days at a time. And now you're asking them to be away from their family. Again, I try to have perspective here that there are hardships going on around us that are worse. But that also doesn't detract from each individual situation and their happiness and their family life. And so we do have to acknowledge what a difficult ask this is for the NBA and the Players Association to have players do this. And so the team that can maybe fight its way through this and find things to do, and there are going to be things that they can do, Bill, that they're going to try to provide. And I know we all joked when we saw that one document about playing cards and ping pong. They're going to open it up to golf. I think they're going to try to have some kind of fishing expeditions on some of those lakes that are on the property, and bowling. So they are going to try to provide some activities, Bill, that they can get out, and it's just not basketball in your room, basketball in your room.
Jeff Zilgit here on the Jim Rome Show, Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. Jeff, and I know you just walked us through a lot of them. There are a lot of intangibles and a lot of things that we can't predict as it relates to how players are going to react. But with the information you have, right, as best you can try to guess at it, what teams do you think have stark advantages or disadvantages when it comes to the uniqueness of this bubble and what we're going to see on the floor?
Well, Bill, so look, the mental portion of that is going to be up there. And so then I start to look at veteran teams or teams that have played deep into the playoffs. So let's just start with the Toronto Raptors, defending champion, everyone back except Kawhi, very strong leadership with Kyle Lowry on that team, quality players, a great coach who knows to navigate, the general manager, a front office, backing from ownership. That's a team that, I'd expect to do well. The Los Angeles Lakers is another one, Bill. And I'll throw the Clippers in there, too, because they also have veteran players on that team. But when you look at a guy like LeBron, who has been through so many, nothing experience like this, but so many different playoff experiences and can be a leader for a team. So I'm looking at leadership, I'm looking at veterans, I'm looking at stability. Teams that are a little bit younger are probably going to have trouble in this that maybe don't understand what the grind of the playoffs is like on a normal situation. And so that's what I'm looking at, Bill, when I start to at least try to figure out which teams are going to perform well at the start. I'm willing to acknowledge that this could also change. You know, maybe a young team with nothing to lose and doesn't understand the pressure. There's no fans in the arena. The atmosphere is different. You know, what was the phrase, Bill? You know, there's the guys who perform well Wednesday at practice in the NFL, but Sunday in a game, they don't. Well, maybe those guys who perform well in practice with no fans and different kind of pressure perform well in this situation. I mean, those are the things that you and I and others are going to be watching throughout this.
It's all absolutely fascinating. Jeff Zilgit from USA Today on Twitter at Jeff Zilgit. As always, buddy, love having you on. Thanks for making time, and hope to see you soon and in hopefully better times.
Yep, same here, Bill. Take care of yourself and your family too, man.
You too, buddy. Be safe. Thank you, Jeffrey. Jeff Zilgit on the show. Jeff does a really tremendous job covering the association. If you don't follow him on Twitter, it's Jeff Zilgit. And I promise you're worth your time over at USA Today. It's an interesting point on that, and there's a lot of things that I've sort of contemplated that's bubbled up into my brain as it relates to how this is going to impact players. I think small thing, but it'll be significant. We know that role players don't play well on the road in the playoffs and do play well at home. How does that play out on a neutral court? It's probably going to be guy to guy. And Jeff makes a good point. Some guys don't do as well. Telling you, and having covered a lot of finals and Super Bowls and all that, a charge that goes through the stands sometimes goes through the floor and the players. That silence, as Rob Stone put it, the quiet nature of where we're at now and how that's going to feel in some big semifinal or conference final is going to be fascinating. I've got a couple NBA teams. I think some data and some of what we saw this year tell the tale of who's going to benefit and who's not. When we get into this very bizarre bubble situation, I'll break out the numbers. I'll break out the analytics. I'll give you a couple names you're not expecting, NBA contenders, when we come back to the Jim Rome Show here in just a minute.